Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 404th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app to get last-minute tickets at the lowest prices guaranteed. Use promo code SGPN for $20 off. And finally, we're brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGPN. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet, only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGPN.
Yo, Jenrian, and welcome to episode 404 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This is going to go out to one of our new friends in the Discord, Maka J, an Australian friend of ours. So, good day, mate. Ha ha ha. Problem is, we have two Macs and a Maka in there now, so things are going to get confusing. But nonetheless, welcome to the family. And if you're not in the Discord yet, get in the Discord, people. I'm in there. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. My co-host is in there as well. I'm going to introduce him right now. We're going to break down the main card of UFC and ESPN Holloway versus Korean Zombie. That would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Do you know how in sync we are? So first of all, we made almost all the same picks on the prelims with one exception. And it was a pretty wishy-washy exception. And we're so in sync. I was just about to tell you that we should dedicate this episode to our new friend, Maka J, in the Discord. So you read my mind.
Of course. What's with all the Macs in there, though, Dan? It's getting confusing.
I mean, it's a pretty common name, I think. People either name Mac or being called Mac or having Mac at the end of their last name. There's a lot more Macs than there are Vreelands.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So yesterday, like you said, we linked up on almost all our picks except for the one fight, but like you said, whatever, who cares? It was a who cares fight, basically. I don't think it's going to end up in any of our fancy plays at the end of this episode. So we'll see how things go here. We ended with heavyweights on the prelims, and we're going to start with heavyweights in the main card. So this is UFC and ESPN Holloway versus the Korean Zombie, aka UFC Fight Night Holloway versus the Korean Zombie, aka UFC and ESPN Plus 83. That's all the AKAs have. No, aka UFC Singapore. Now I think I'm done with the AKAs. It's going down on my son's birthday, August 26th, in the Singapore Indoor Stadium in Klang, Singapore, 5 a.m. Eastern time for the prelims on ESPN Plus. We're going to break down the main card here. 8 a.m. Eastern start time. This probably works well for you, Dan, since your kids get you up that early anyway, right?
Yeah, it's going to be an early one for the prelims, though.
Yeah, it's true. No, you have a kid that gets up at 5, right? That's no big deal.
Yeah, it's usually like 5:30, but I guess I can sacrifice a half an hour. Yeah.
Because you have to watch it live because you have to be in the Discord. John will be there and everyone else. So, all right, we're going to break down the main card. We're going to give you picks before we even break here. We're going to start off with heavyweights. Like I said, Junior Toffa versus Peter Parker Porter. We'll tell you about Porter first. He's 14 and 8, six knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out four times, submitted three times. 4-3 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last three, won his last fight via TKO, 1-1 in Bellator, was a regional champion, used to fight at light heavyweight, 2007 pro MMA debut, 3 inches of reach on Toffa, 4.5 times more active landing strikes, but Toffa's only fought once in the UFC. He's got better grappling stats based off of that one fight too, Porter does, and Porter has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.32 strikes per minute. He's at plus 130. Toffa, the juggernaut, is the nickname. 4-1 with 4 knockouts, 0-1 in the UFC, did lose his last fight. That was his UFC debut. Muhammad Usman he lost to, so take that for what it's worth. Used to fight at light heavyweight as well. He's a pro boxer and a pro Muay Thai fighter and a pro kickboxer. 3 inches of height on Porter, 11 years younger than Porter. That's a biggie. He's outstruck his UFC in his UFC debut, he outstruck Usman by one strike per minute, minus 138. Yep. I'll kick off at the main card like usual. Give me Porter. I'm going to go underdog here. Tafa, it's not very good. Not saying Porter is amazing either.
He's bad.
That could have been it. That could have been it. Yeah, Porter. Tafa's not very good. Porter, not a world beater, but better all around fighter and you know, a crafty veteran. I think he can handle Tafa. Because like I said, Tafa, not very good. So give me Porter plus 130.
Yeah, I'm going to go Porter too. I think, so I picked Porter against his brother, and obviously that didn't work out for me because he like weirdly blitzed in. And I think I have a feeling that he's kind of like learned his lesson. Like, I'm not just going to blitz in on one of these, like, you know, New Zealand kickboxing dudes, you know, instead I'm just going to grind him out. And we saw what happened when Junior Tafa got grinded out by Muhammad Usman. Like, Usman had 12 minutes of control in that fight. It was a 15-minute fight. There were 3 minutes where Tafa wasn't being controlled by Muhammad Usman, either against the cage or on the mat. And look, I'm not particularly high on Muhammad Usman. You know, I think he's got power, but I think that's pretty much all he's working with. And I think people forget, and I think even Parker Porter sometimes forgets, he's pretty damn good on the ground, man. Like, he's got good, like, Americanas and Kimuras and good side control and, like, arm bars. Like, he's good on the mat. I also think, and this is totally speculation, but if you've seen his Instagram lately, the dude looks like he's getting thin. Not thin, because he's still Parker Porter, but he looks like he's dropped some LBs. So if he's dropped some LBs, he goes into this one smarter. He uses his wrestling a little bit. I think he's going to take care of Junior Tafa pretty easily. I'm low on Junior Tafa. Like I said, the wrestling of Muhammad Usman working, and it's never talking about Junior Tafa unless I mention that one time he got out grappled by a 50-year-old dude named Nicholas Jurjevich. Eventually came back in that fight, but early was out grappled by old Norwegian wrestler. So I think that's the path to victory here for Porter too.
You sliding Porter's DMs too?
I'm not sliding in his DMs. I have his phone number. I've texted him before, but not about him being skinny.
All right, that is our pick. You know what else is our pick? Game Time's our pick. GameTime.co, not .com.co. Game Time is this place to be if you need to buy tickets for any event, sports, music, comedy, theater, anything like that. They're the best place to get the best prices, and you can get last minute tickets, all that type of stuff. That is the place to go. I do enjoy the app because it shows you photos of exactly where your seats will be on in whatever venue you're looking to get tickets. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. And that's true. I looked for Blue Jay tickets one day and they were there. The game was starting in a couple hours and they had good deals on tickets right there for you. You can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. More would include MMA because they do have MMA on there as well. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. You make money. That's a good deal. Here's what you need to do. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. August is almost over, and you know what that means. Time is running out for you to draft your fantasy football team on Underdog Fantasy. Get championship ready for your home league by trying out best ball on Underdog Fantasy. All you do is one live snake draft, no waivers, no trades. You set it, forget it, and Underdog does the rest. Try it out with Underdog's Best Ball Media Tournament, the largest fantasy football contest of all time, with $15 million. Of total prizes up for grabs, including an absurd, this is absurd, $3 million going to the winner. That's even enough to entice Gumby, perhaps. Do you have what it takes to win? To win it all. $3 million. Time is now. The last day to draft your fantasy football team is September 7th. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store and sign up with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. Think of all the EpiPens you could buy with $3 million, Dan.
You can
get stung by bees constantly.
I now have new ones, so I should be good for a little bit. I shouldn't need more EpiPens anytime soon.
All right. Well, if you do, win that underdog contest. Do you have an underdog pick 'em that you like, Gumby? You gave us, you told us PFL was on there yesterday. Anything you like for UFC or baseball or anything?
Well, one thing I would tell you is since you know to go to SGPN for all of your betting needs and your article needs, head on over there right now, because I may or may not have an article that came out this morning about my favorite underdog fantasy play. So check that out.
There you go. It's even better than giving you a pick. He's giving you multiple picks, but don't turn off the podcast when you go over there. You can multitask. You can listen to us, and this is light listening, and Gumby's article, I'm sure, is light reading. So there you go. Let's move on to the fight card, shall we? One of our favorites is fighting next. Women's flyweights, Erin Blanchfield. That would be one of our favorites versus Talia Santos. And as Dan, was it last episode? Yes. You told us how Blanchfield has been in Singapore for a while now, getting acclimated, getting used to time zones and all that stuff.
Yeah, I saw it on... I mean, I follow her on Instagram too, but I noticed that one of her training partners was in Singapore, and I was like, oh, what is, you remember Fatima Klein from Invicta? I was like, what is Fatima Klein doing in Singapore? And then I realized she was there to corner Erin Blanchfield, and that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I think they've been there for a while.
Excellent. Excellent. We want all the, well, I don't know if you're going to pick her. We'll have to wait and see. Actually, I do know who you're picking. But that's, yeah, Parker Porter does look. I'm getting distracted. I'm sliding in your boy Parker Porter's Instagram.
He looks skinny, right? That are you seeing the picture of him on like the ESPN set with like the baggy T-shirt? I can't tell.
Yeah,
if the
shirt I'm seeing other pictures
baggy
too. Yeah,
on that one. But like, yeah, he looks like he's dropped some lbs.
Yeah, well, he used to be light heavyweight, so it could. He definitely could drop some lbs. Just don't drop too many. And then you'll be a light heavyweight. Oh, actually, he can be a light heavyweight if he wants, just not for this fight. Anyhow, we're off that. We're on to women's flyweights. Erin Blanchfield, Talia Santos. I'm going to tell you about Santos first. 19-2, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in any fight. 4-2 in the UFC. She had 4-1 over her last 5, lost her last fight, which was for the championship against Valentina Shevchenko last June. So she's been out of action since then. Was she injured, you know, or just took time off?
I think it was a little bit of both. I don't know that it was like a real injury, but I think it was like more banged up from having fought Valentina Shevchenko.
Right. Yep, that'll happen. 1-0 contender series. Used to fight up at bantamweight, regional champion. She was 2013 pro MMA debut. 2 inches of height, 2 inches of reach over Blanchfield, and she's outstruck her UFC and contender series opponents by 0.92 strikes per minute, plus 125. Erin, cold blooded Blanchfield. 11-1. Have you interviewed her before?
I think I have not. No.
No. Okay. I was going to ask if she's cold blooded or not, but we'll have to wait and see. She's 11-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 5-0 in the UFC. She won 3 straight fights via submission. No surprise there. She's won 8 straight fights overall. She's not lost since February of 2019. Who did she lose to? Who's the only person she lost to, Dan?
She didn't actually lose that fight, but it was a split decision. Yep. It was a split decision to Tracy Cortez, Jong's girl.
the future Mrs. Jong Lee, yes, is the only person to beat Erin Blanchfield. And she probably hasn't fought since. No, she's fought a few times since. All right, Blanchfield, 4-1 in Invicta. That's where she lost to Cortez. So she's fought at a high level pretty much since the get-go for her. She is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. She's 6 years younger than Santos. Better striking stats and more active landing strikes. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 2.84 strikes per minute. She's at minus 135. Not every day that we get a number this low on our girl, Erin Blanchfield.
No, I'm going with Blanchfield, obviously. I think, you know, I respect the fact that Talia Santos had like a back and forth fight with Valentina Shevchenko, and that should count for something. But the difference maker for me is just like, if you look at the fights with Talia Santos and the issues that she's had, most of the issues she's had are not that she can't wrestle, right? Because it's clear she can wrestle. It's the defensive wrestling that I worry about, right? Because she took down Valentina Shevchenko, worth noting. You know, she took down, you know, Roxanne Modafari or Jillian Robertson or Molly McCann, whoever you want. But like, most of them aren't offensive wrestlers, right? Like Jillian Robertson's offensive wrestling is kind of terrible. And same with Molly McCann. And, you know, Valentina's is all right. But, you know, Valentina did get her down 3 times and put her on her back 3 times. And so did Mara Romero Barella, which I think people forget. Mara Romero Barella took her down a couple of times. And I just think that the takedown defense of Talia Santos is the problem here. Because it's not that she's not good at jiu-jitsu, and it's not that she can't hold her own when she's taking somebody down, or she might not be able to take most people down. It's just that, like, in this instance, I think if she winds up on her back, getting up is going to be harder against Erin Blanchfield than it is against most women.
Yeah, this is probably the toughest fight Blanchfield has had. A very good step up in competition for her. I'm picking her to win it, though. And I like the line we were getting at. Gumby told you why we like Blanchfield here. So you're speaking on behalf of me. You're my proxy. All right, let's move to bantamweights. Rinya Nakamura, who we spoke of yesterday briefly, versus Fernie Garcia. I will tell you about Mr. Garcia first. 10-3, one knockout, three submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 0-2 in the UFC. Won his way in off the Contender Series, where he was 1-0. He has not won a fight since that time, that Contender Series fight, which was October of 2021. So in a bit of a, almost a two-year skid here. Used to fight at featherweight. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series fights by 0.65 strikes per minute, plus 550. Nakamura Hybrid is the nickname. 7-0, five knockouts, one submission. 1-0 in the UFC, 2-0 on road to UFC, and then he won the championship of last year. Three straight wins via finish. So all of his road to and UFC fights have been finishes for him. Was a world championship wrestler in a past life. An inch of reach on Garcia, 3 years younger. Better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he's almost four times more active landing strikes than Garcia is. He's outstruck his three opponents on the UFC in the road to shows by 4.92 strikes per minute, minus 704. Obviously, I'm taking Nakamura. He's one of our boys, right? He's looking fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for giving me a bizarre line like negative 704. That makes my day.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I'm just going to tell you, okay, so first of all, straight up, anybody who gets out-wrestled by Brady Heastand and Journey Newson has a big issue on their hands if they're facing Rinya Nakamura. I like Ferdy Garcia. I had higher hopes for him in the UFC, but this is very clearly them trying to get Rinya Nakamura on the right track as he starts his UFC career. So I'm going Nakamura. I'm also going to tell you guys, because this doesn't really need a breakdown, the guy gave up two takedowns to Journey Newson, who I think has pretty poor takedown offense, and he's going to be fighting a world championship grappler. No breakdown needed here. So I'm just going to tell you that if anybody comes into the Discord having not listened to this episode, and you guys can, those of you who are actually listening, can feel free to play in on this. If anybody asks for the lock, what's the lock? What's everybody's lock for today? Just a chorus of Rinya Nakamura money lines. That's all we're going to tell them.
Yeah, there's always at least one friend who comes in. Not just lock. What's the lock dog of the night? Like that. Like there's such a thing. First of all, there's really no such thing as locks. First of all,
right? Ferdy Garcia could come in and knock him out. For you know, it's MMA. Yeah. Things are crazy. Yeah, I'm pretty confident here, but there is a possibility.
Yeah, the one person who I'm sure doesn't listen always wants a lock dog of the night, and people always give him humorous answers. So Discord, we're nice people, but not when you're trying to get lock dogs off us by. And not supporting the podcast, for God's sakes. All right, we're going to move up a weight class to featherweights. Giga Chikadze, have you heard of him? He's back, if you have heard of him. He's fighting Alex Caceres. We'll tell you about Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. First, 21-13 with one no contest, four knockouts, seven submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted seven times, 16-11 with one no contest in the UFC, 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's won two straight fights, 7 of 8. He's fight down at bantamweight and up at lightweight. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. He also is a pro grappler. Better striking stats, which is surprising than Chikadze. Better grappling stats as well. And he's outstruck his UFC and opponents by 1.29 strikes per minute. So pretty solid number for a guy who's almost fought 30 times in the UFC. Consider that plus 210. Ninja. He has been a ninja for the past year or so. Giga Chikadze. He's been invisible, but he's back. 14-3. Nine knockouts. One submission. He's been submitted once. 7-1 in the UFC. Lost his last fight back in January 2022 and then disappeared. Do we know what went on there? Did he just take time off?
I mean, I know he had some trouble getting fights. I also think the Calvin Kattar fight messed with him a little bit. And like, you know, it was a showing that I don't think he was ready for. He looked perplexed at the end of that fight.
Yeah. Calvin Kattar will mess things up for you. He will throw monkey wrenches in plenty of plans. Chikadze used to fight at lightweight. He lost in the Contender Series. He was 0-1 there. Do you remember who he lost to, Dan?
Megan yeah, it was. I think it was Austin Springer, if I'm not mistaken.
Who then, by the way,
I think only got one fight in the UFC following that, and he lost to Alex Caceres.
Ooh, MMA math. Chikadze 0-1 on the World Series they're fighting as well. Was he kickboxing or is a kickboxer? Was a kickboxer, I guess, was at this point. 2 inches of height, 1 inch reach on Caceres, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.7 strikes per minute, -225. You go first.
I'm going to take Giga Chikadze. I think he's going to beat Alex Caceres. I think this fight takes place entirely on the feet, even though we've seen kind of a relative weakness out of Giga Chikadze, and he's been away for a little while. I don't think Alex Caceres is the wrestling game to get him down, right? Like, it doesn't seem like that's Alex Caceres' game. I think this is going to be like a point kickboxing fight from range. While both guys like have the ability to knock each other out, like they're both also very safe defensively. Like Chikadze took an absolute beating from Calvin Kattar and he didn't go away. And like Alex Caceres doesn't really get knocked out because they're both just like, they're mostly smart defensively. I mean, Giga went, you know, almost 3 full rounds with Edson Barboza and didn't get knocked out. So yeah, I think this is destined to be a distance kickboxing fight. I don't really love that Chikadze, with all of that time off, coming off of a pretty brutal loss, is a 2-1 favorite. I would say, like, maybe wait for that line to come down, and if it doesn't come down, the other play might just be, like, this fight goes to decision. And I know that that's a negative number two, but I think that's probably... I don't think anybody's getting a stoppage in this fight. I think this goes to decision is probably the right way to play it.
Guess what? I'm taking a +210 dog here, Dan.
I kind of thought you were going to, because
you
hate guys on the layoff.
Yeah, it's true. The layoff, I probably put too much into that. Let's check the stats on the layoff. 46% guys who have been off a year only win 46% of the time. So it's not huge. It is a bit of an advantage. Caceres is actually a better striker from distance. He's not more powerful. I wouldn't say that. Chikadze is more dangerous from distance, but it's the layoff, the fact that he got so badly. So he looked so bad in his last fight, albeit it was against Calvin Kattar. But I think Caceres is worth the roll of a dice here, especially if he's willing to grapple a little bit here, because obviously he's going to be the better grappler. So
I do think it's important to contextualize the stats, though, because, again, you're saying he's the better striker from distance. People who he's outstruck include Chase Hooper, Kevin Kroom, Sungwoo Choi, Kron Gracie, like Rolando Dye. Like these are the people he's outstriking from Cole Miller. He outstruck Cole Miller 3-1. You know, like these are the people he's outstriking. Roland Delorme. Remember Roland Delorme? And meanwhile, Giga Chikadze's in there striking with, you know, Calvin Kattar, Edson Barboza, Cub Swanson, you know, even somebody like Omar Morales is like a tough out. So I think the stats are skewed a little bit there, but to your point, I think maybe Caceres is the better money line value play unless that number comes down.
You're always raining on my parade with contextualizing my stats. Come on. It's Caceres has looked good, but it's been, he's looked especially good recently, but he hasn't really fought the highest level competition. He's a second 15 type of guy, not top 15, but like 16 to 30 type of guy. But so this is definitely a step up for him. But I think with the time off and the, who knows what kind of mental shape Chikadze is in after the beating he took. So I think it's worth the roll of dice. We shall see if I am correct or not come Saturday morning. One thing I am right about is DraftKings is a place to go, especially now that you've waited all year for this time to roll around. And the time has finally arrived once again. It's college football season. College football is back, and so are the traditions, the tailgates, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. I use it for all my MLB picks that I do on the website as well. They got UFC obviously on there. They got everything. If you're not into college football, they got everything else you can need on Sportsbook, from a Sportsbook over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Kick off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code DSGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 1-888-789-7777. That's 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resorts, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. That's a mouthful. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Make sure to check out our Patreon, us being the SGP Family Sports Gambling Podcast. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL Win Totals contest with a $1,000 first place prize. The guys just recorded their first Sports Gambling Podcast Stories podcast just for patrons, chronicling the birth of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. There's even a Discord channel just for patrons. Sports Gambling Podcast has and always will give out all their picks for free. The Patreon is a great way to support the network and fight back against corporate gambling. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, let's move to the co-main event. Light heavyweights, Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann. Anthony Lionheart Smith is 36-18, 20 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out 10 times, submitted 4 times, so he does not go to the distance too often. 11-8 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's lost 2 straight fights. Before that, he won 3 straight. He did beat Ryan Spann via submission when they first fought in 2021. Why we're getting a rematch, I don't know, but here we are. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get his shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight, 2-0 in Bellator, 2-2 in Strikeforce, 2008 pro MMA debut. He's got a negative strike differential of 1.53 strikes per minute. It's a plus 120. Superman Spann, 21-8, 6 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times, 7-3 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, and 3-3 over his last 6. Lost his last fight via submission, has missed weight before, 1-1 in contender series, multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight. 2013, a pro MMA debut. He's got 1 inch of height, 3 inches of reach, and he's 3 years younger than Smith. Better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he's more active landing strikes. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.04 strikes per minute. So basically, he gives out what he takes back in. And he's at minus 125. Is it me? It's me, right?
Yeah, it's you.
I was going Spann originally, and I thought, wait a minute. Well, I heard you talk about it as well. Like, I always pick whoever wins the first match. I always pick them in the rematch. So why would I go against that now? Because guys usually, if they have someone's number, they're going to beat them every time they fight, or almost every time. And it's not like Spann has looked like a different fighter since that time. Maybe he's improved a bit, but who's to say? They're both older fighters as it is at this point, so there shouldn't be too much changing to their game. And Anthony Smith seems to be a guy that always surprises us. He seems to always come through, like at least myself had him written off years ago, but here he is, still doing the thing. So give me Anthony Smith at a plus 120.
Yeah, I'm going to go Anthony Smith too. And for me, I said the same thing. The fight got booked and I was like, oh yeah, you know, like Spann's probably turned it around a lot since that last fight. And I thought to myself, for sure I'd be taking him. And then I went back and I, you know, looked at the resumes and looked at the fights and like, really, he hasn't looked better since losing to Anthony Smith. Like Anthony Smith rear naked choked him. He then guillotine choked Ion Cutelaba on like maybe one of the worst takedown attempts I've ever seen from Ion Cutelaba. And he knocked out Dominic Reyes with a jab after missing weight So, like, you know, I guess those are wins, but, like, nothing that makes you really excited. And then he got submitted by Nikita Kralov, who I don't think is as good at jiu-jitsu as Anthony Smith. And, like, yeah, Smith is on a two-fight losing streak since then, but he lost to Magomed Ankalaev. You know, really no shame in that. That dude's probably pretty close to being the champion of this division. And then you got the decision loss to Johnny Walker, where, you know, they kind of went toe-to-toe for a while, and yeah, Johnny Walker came out on top, but again, Johnny Walker's a top guy in this division too. So the fact that his grappling played so well against Spann the first time, and Spann really has showed me nothing that makes me think it wouldn't work this time, yeah, why wouldn't you be on Anthony Smith a second time?
Yeah, we'll get some plus money too, so let's do it. All right, let's go to the main event. Can be hard.
Not getting plus money on this one.
Yep, you got it. Going to be hard to get ourselves some plus money for the featherweight main event, Max Holloway versus Chan Sung Jung, aka the Korean Zombie. We'll tell you about him first. Jung is 17-7, 6 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, 7-4 in the UFC. He's got loss, win, loss over his last 3. 3-2 over his last 5. Lost his last fight via TKO. That was back in April of 2022. He went 0-2 in WEC. WEC never die. I get to say that less and less every week, but he's one of the OGs. I don't think of him as WEC, though. Do you remember him from there?
Yeah, of course. That's where the first Leonard Garcia fight was. That's where he got knocked out.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And that's where he got knocked out by George Roop, too, which is a fun fight.
I do remember him. I totally remember him now, yes. If new school people haven't watched WEC, I'm sure it's on Fight Pass, right? The archives?
It's gotta be. I haven't gone back and watched that first Leonard Garcia fight recently, but that Leonard Garcia fight is sick.
Just any random WEC event, watch. It's fun, for sure. All right, let me see. Zhang used to fight at lightweight, 2007 pro MMA debut, 15-6 as a pro kickboxer, 3 inches reach on Holloway. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.38 strikes per minute. He's at plus 575. Blessed Max Holloway, 24-7, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted once. That's pretty durable for a guy that we worry about taking damage. He's only been stopped once in 31 fights. 20-7 in the UFC. Was the former champion of this tier weight class. 3-1 over his last 4 fights. Did win his last fight. Basically, he only loses to Alexander Volkanovski over the past, like, decade, basically. Used to fight up at lightweight. He loses fights there sometimes, so that doesn't count. Was a regional champion. 2010 pro MMA debut. 4 inches height over Jung. Somehow he's still younger than his opponent. He's 4 years younger than the Korean Zombie, even though he's been around forever. Striking stats better. He's more active landing strikes as well. No surprise there. He's got a positive strike differential of 2.37 strikes per minute, minus 750. That was a bit of a surprise that the line was that high, but there you go.
I thought the same thing initially, and then I was like, yeah, but who would pick Chan Sung Jung in this? But, like, what's his path to victory? You know, like, he maybe has a jiu-jitsu advantage, but he's not going to out-wrestle Max Holloway doesn't get taken down, really, you know? And, you know, to your point, it's not like he's going to sub Max Holloway. The only person who's ever subbed Max Holloway was Dustin Poirier. It was a decade ago, and it was Max Holloway's 5th ever pro MMA fight. So, like, he ain't getting subbed. He ain't getting knocked out. You're just going to tell me that the Korean Zombie is going to outlast Max Holloway for 25 minutes? Yeah, I just don't see it. Max Holloway is obviously the pick. It's not an exciting pick at negative 750, but yeah, like, you'd be crazy not to pick him.
Yeah, he is the pick. He's just going to put it on a guy who maybe he doesn't like to get hit, but a guy who gets hit a lot. Holloway is going to put it on him. All right, this recap. Don't go away, though. We got more picks for you. We always have more picks. Always have more picks. You always got to listen to the very end. We both have Holloway. We both have Smith. He has Chakazia. I'm going out on the limb with Caceres. Both have Nakamura. Both have Blanchfield. We both have Porter. So we got one different on the prelims and on the main card to keep things spicy and interesting in our marriage here, Dan.
I like it.
All right. Let's do locks, dogs, and props and a parlay. Even though I said earlier, there's no such thing as locks. These are the picks that we're most comfortable giving out. Maybe that's what would be our lock pick. Am I first this week? I'm thinking I am.
Sure. You go ahead.
All right. Our girl Blanchfield, minus 135. It's one of those lines that lower than we probably expected it. And Maybe I was gonna say maybe it's the last time we're gonna get a line that's low on her, but maybe not. Maybe she keeps going up. She's gonna keep having low lines as she fights harder people. So give me Blanchfield.
I'm gonna go Garrett Armfield. Okay. I think Toshiomi Kazawa he's good, but I just think he needs to get his own jiu-jitsu going in order to win this fight with Armfield, and I think the wrestling isn't gonna let him do that. So Armfield's -163. I like him there.
That's a good fun number too, 163. All right. A dog. Not Caceres. Smith is an interesting pick. Now let's see if there's someone I like better. Porter, another good pick. But it's a heavyweight. Do I really want to go in on a heavyweight? That's the question. Do you like this? I'm thinking on the air. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, you never plan this stuff ahead of time. I'm never surprised.
People love me making noises too. Give me Anthony Smith +120 since he's already beaten the man. I'll take 1.2 times my money on him doing it again.
I'm gonna go Jarno Ahrens in the opener.
That's the dog too, right?
Yeah, and you know, I went back and watched this fight with William Gomez and was really impressed with how good he looked in that fight. I think he's a finisher. I think he's got a good chance of getting somebody out of there who has been finished recently in more than one way.
All right. There you go, Armfield. All right. I'm doubling down on our girl for my prop bet. Blanchfield, you get her via submission at +400. Like, that's wild. So I have to take that. Blanchfield against anyone via submission at +400, you got to take. So that's my pick.
That's a bold one. I'm going to go. It's funny.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I mean, I just think Talia Santos is really hard to submit. I kind of see that fight being Santos trying to get off of her ass the whole fight and not being able to. And you know, maybe Blanchfield just wears her down and subs her. I'd feel a lot better about Blanchfield by sub if you gave her 5 rounds to do it. But you know, like, who knows? She could definitely sub her. I'm gonna go to the main event. You said it's hard to get plus money on this one. I found some plus money in this main event. Kind of surprising, right? I'm going to go with Max Holloway, which, you know, everybody said you're going to go with Max Holloway anyway. I'm going to go with him by decision. Holloway by decision is +180, which was kind of surprising to me because, first of all, Korean Zombie is incredibly durable. I mean, with the exception of being finished by Volkanovski and the weird up elbow by Yair Rodriguez, you know, he takes punishment. That's kind of always been his thing. And with Max Holloway hasn't finished anybody since he finished Brian Ortega, and that was a doctor stoppage. Could he pile up the strikes here and just put like 85 million strikes on Korean Zombie here? Sure, maybe he gets a TKO that way or with blood or whatever, but like, I think it's more likely that we see something that looks like his fight with Calvin Kattar, which goes the distance in 25 minutes. So give me Max Holloway over 25 minutes. It'll probably be a sweaty 25 minutes for me. But at +180, I think it's worth the dabble.
Yeah, I was thinking, when's the last time Holloway finished someone? Yeah, it's been almost 5 years since that Ortega fight. And before that, almost 6 years, December 2nd, 2017, he TKO'd Jose Aldo. So yeah, he's a... he puts it on you, but it's more volume than it's more quantity than quality, perhaps we can say. So, all right, Armfield and Blanchfield locks, Ahrens and Smith dogs, Holloway decision and Blanchfield sub are our prop bets. All right, Hunger Man Jog, Super Fan Parlay, 2 fights, gonna get us big money. We're due to hit it. So let's hit it this week.
I'm going to double down on Jarno Ahrens. So I mentioned Jarno Ahrens is a guy who I like as my dog of the week. I do like his money line, but I also like the prop on him to get a finish of any kind. I mentioned he had a good submission attempt against William Gomez, the triangle attempt turned into an armbar attempt. He jumps guillotines sometimes. I also think his kickboxing is good enough to get somebody out of there. And you know, like, let's face it, Choi's a dude, he gets knocked out. So I'm going to go with him inside the distance. That way I can get the sub and the KO because inside the distance is +400. If you feel like you know better that he's going to go knockout or he's going to go submission, each of those are +700, which are both tempting to me too. But when you can get them both for +400, I think you just take them both. So I'm going to take Jarno Ahrens inside the distance and I'm going to take Rolando Bedoya by knockout. So we mentioned, you know, Kenan Song is just kind of the guy who they feed to people. He's been knocked out 2 fights in a row. And Bedoya, I mean, he hit pretty hard against Chaos Williams. You can get him by knockout at +200. So if you put +400 with +200, you get +1400.
1,400, Dan, plus 1,400. We're going big this week.
Yeah. I've got a good feeling about these two, too. We're going to get big finishes.
All right. I got a good feeling about it as well. I got a good feeling about all of our picks. Make sure you get in the Discord and you can chat about your picks. Sometimes things change last minute. Sometimes we chase after things in the real world and we make it a profitable night, even if some of our original picks went down the tube. So make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord and get in there and say hi to us, and maybe you'll have an episode dedicated to you as well. Twitter, you can hit us up there too. SGPNMMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland, that's places to be. Instagram, Jeff Fox Writer. My Substack, I think I forgot to say it last time, but I got a Substack, moneymma.substack.com. That is a newsletter which will go in your inbox every time I write something on it. So pretty much daily, or anytime I do a podcast, it will hit your ears through there as well. And we have a pick 'em contest that I run weekly, free pick 'em. Make sure you get in it for this weekend's Holloway versus the Korean Zombie. Also, make sure you listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast with my man Gumby. Three very good interviews this week, and he gives out betting picks as well. And everything good in sports gambling world is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and obviously support the Patreon. Now, this is usually where I kick it to Gumby and say, we'll see you on Sunday, but no, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Yes, for coming back. Bonus episode. Go ahead, Gumby.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Freeland. He's the Korean Zombie, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Friday.